thankful hearts, Lord, for the day and the hour, for the blessings, for your great mercy and grace, Lord. Lord, we know that we're such a blessed people. Lord, for this great visitation, Lord, in this last day, and to be able to be a part of it, to recognize your presence, Lord, to receive, Lord, of that spiritual understanding, Lord, that you've passed on to your people. Lord, we just worship you, and we praise you, and we give you all glory and honor. And may you just continue to draw us and guide us. And Lord, we ask that you would give us revelation, Lord, you would open our hearts, our understanding day by day. Lord, let that desire within us grow. Lord, let it grow. Lord, just move upon each one, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you now. And Lord, we ask that you would go among us, Lord, as you know, the ones that are in need, the ones that have decisions to make, the ones that need healing. Lord, that you would just be with them. Lord, that your word would manifest itself in their lives. And Lord, that you would just touch each one, supply every need now. And we just commit all to you as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Good to see Sister Esther with us this morning. We missed her last week. And we thank God. And now I want to, first of all, just take a minute. I want to thank everyone for your part in making the get together tomorrow for Amber a real success. She's never had a birthday like that. I don't think I ever had a birthday like that. I never seen anything like that. So you really made it special for both, for all three of them, for Autumn and Amber. And it just was a real blessing. And so I just want to say I appreciate it. And the ones that participated, some brought food and the gifts and everything. I just felt like it's too much. And I feel indebted to you've really blessed us. And so and the girls, they're very appreciative. And they love you and they thank you for everything that you've done. And so it's going to be really hard to see them go. It's just going to be hard. Now, something else I wanted to mention. Since the girls are going, I wanted to tell Autumn thank you for taking the children's class. She's done an excellent job. And I think the children are learning Swahili. They sing in Swahili first. It's the first time every service, every class, they always start in Swahili. And it sounds like they're all singing and they're doing really good. And so we're going to miss that. We're going to miss her in that. And so we ask the Lord will continue to bless her. And we thank the Lord for that desire. And so another thing now, something I hadn't thought about, and Brother Michael and Amanda took it upon themselves to do. We used to have I don't like using the word tradition, but it's a good tradition. It's a good one. And that is, we used to always, when the children turned 10 years old, the church bought them a Bible. And so most of the time, they got their first Bible at church. And so they went and got one, Michael and Amanda did, for Amber. And so I forgot. They brought it to me this morning, and they set it back here, and I had it beside my computer. And then after class, they come in there, and Amber looked at it and said, "Daddy, you have such a pretty Bible." And I said, "Thank you, honey. It is really pretty." And so anyways, I'm going to ask her to come. And to receive this on behalf of the church, this is me. Brother Holmes always said, "May you wear it out." Amen. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. So we thank God, and I think we have some more getting close, don't we?
Amen.
Yeah. So we will be looking forward to that. I think it's a good way to start, and we want to keep that up and keep encouraging the children in every way that we can. You know, they have proven, well, what's actually happened now, it's not just proven, but actually now we're realizing it's been brought to our attention. And when I was young, they talked about the communists, that what they did was they taught their children from the time they were small, they taught them communism. Yeah. And so when you shape that child like that, even in something that is terrible for them and for everybody around them, they only see it as right. They see that as the right thing because they've been shaped in that. They've grown in that. They've matured in that. And so we see it. Somebody mentioned in the Catholic Church yesterday the way that they've done. That's exactly what they've done. When the Catholics come to America, there was many people here, the Protestants, that they had a thing back in those days, what they called tar and feather. And they would pour tar on them, and then they would dump feathers on them. And so that's a hard thing when you've been, that's a hard thing to get off. It's hard, but that's what they thought of the Catholics. That's what they thought of the Catholic priest. And so they came here to get away from it, and they followed. And they followed, and so the people didn't want nothing to do with them. And so what they did, they started schools. They started schools, and they began to teach the children. And so people couldn't afford it. And you look at the poor nations, look how many Catholic schools are in those poor nations. I see it in India. When I first went to India, I was amazed at how many. And almost every single home had a Catholic calendar. And most of them had no clue, but it always had a picture of Jesus with the Sacred Heart. And you wouldn't have it in your house. It's idolatry. They don't know the difference. They don't even know the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, because we know so much about it, to them, it's, you know, maybe the only picture they have in their house. Back in those days, I'm talking 30, 40 years ago. So it's all come a long way since then. But the fact remains, that's how they got in. They did it there. I've seen it a lot in Kenya. Even the girls, I know that many went to Catholic schools when they were young. And here also, that's how it started. And so we know that the grace of God is the thing that takes us above that, that no matter what. But the fact remains, they start with the children, and they start them young, and they begin to teach them, and they begin to bring them into that. And so the scripture tells us to do the same. That's right. It says, raise them in the way they should go. And when they're old, that thing down in there, it'll still be there. It'll still be speaking. It doesn't mean they're all going to do everything right and come right, but it's going to keep nagging at them. It's going to keep on their conscience and keep telling them, you know what's right. That's right. So we want to do that. Now, the other thing I want to remind you is now next weekend, we're going to be going to Raleigh. And we're looking forward to that. Brother Gumba is going to be ministering and there. And we want to go and support that. And we want to be praying that God speaks to those hearts. Amen. That God reveals the voice of this day.
Yes.
To the people. And some of them, they're message believers. They're maybe, I don't know how deep they are, what they are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he's speaking here or he's speaking there. But we're driving that way for a purpose. We're driving there that God will bless the people. And so let's just ask. You know, let's ask in abundance. And I was just reading that scripture this morning. You ask and receive not. He said, you receive not because you ask not. And he said, didn't you ask, but you don't believe it, or you just leave it later. He said, ask, and ask in abundance.
Yes.
And so God is able to do great things.
Amen.
And so That's what we're asking. We're just asking that he will just let those meetings be a great blessing to the people, and that somebody will get something special from it. So now, also, then that's on the 29th. Then on the 3rd, which is October 3rd, that will be on Thursday. We'll be leaving, going to Canada, and we'll be there for a few days with the girls. We'll be coming back on the following Tuesday. And so we ask you to be praying concerning those things. And the girls will be having to change school, a lot of things to take care of between now and then. So now we want to get into the message, and if we get to it this morning, last Sunday we started talking about Adam and some of those things, and then I never got to the quotes that I was going to read, and then I never got to them Wednesday night, and so you see, I get ahead of myself constantly, and I'm reading something and I'm thinking about what's coming, and I start talking about it, and then Brother Goomba, the quote's still laying there, and we want to read the quote, and so if we get to it, we're going to read it this morning. But I'm also going to take a couple little detours along, because when I'm reading these quotes, I'm thinking of other things the prophet said on that, and so I like to incorporate them in there sometimes when we feel to. And so you just pray for us as we go along here. Now we're going to begin on paragraph 166. We're in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And Brother Branham said, that's the reason. Watch down through the age. Whenever that light hits some, they'd turn it away. See? And flashed it away. The great intellectuals and them great priests standing there, there was rabbis from great teachers and authorities. Different ones. Like Nicodemus and them. And the man polished in scholarship. And he couldn't even understand it. I remember we looked at the other night, we looked at the wise and the prudent. And all of the great qualities of what that means, to be wise and to be prudent. Those are great qualities and great wisdom. And Brother Rand talked about that. That means they had discernment. They judged rightly. They judged right and wrong. They did good. It was all good. And so these were great, great men. They wouldn't have been there if they weren't great. All the people were looking to him and following them, looking up to them. Paragraph 167. And those great priests stood out there, and rabbis who were taught in that word. My, they knowed it intellectually. How did they know it? Intellectually. And he said, you're of your father, the devil, and his works you'll do. Think of it. Holy men. You couldn't put your finger nowhere on their life. Now think. Here was Jesus. He wasn't an educated man. He wasn't in their ranks. He wasn't a part of no affiliation, no organization, none of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, none of that. And just think what you would think. If somebody comes out like that today, think what you're going to think. You're not even going to like that attitude. You're not going to like that spirit. You're going to think that's wrong. But here, these great teachers, these great leaders, he just calls them the devil. Just right out of the blue, he just calls them the devil. You say, well, you can't do that. He could do it because he's God and because he knows. Why did he know? What made him know? It wasn't because he was God that made him know. It was because he was the Word. He knew by the Word that they were off the Word, that they had rejected the Word. That's how he knew. That's how we know today. We know that they're off the Word. See? You couldn't put a finger nowhere on their life. They were holy men. And their father's life, and their grandfather's life, and their great-great-great-great-grandfather's life. If they did, they died in shame. They were stoned to death, see? And here stands Jesus calling that group a bunch of devils, religious people. Wow, that had to be That had to be mind-boggling to the people of that day. And just think, when our prophet stood up and made statements like that, he said, education, civilization, absolutely of the devil. The devil. Huh? He stood up there and he said, Elvis Presley sold his soul, sold his birthright. Called him a devil. Ernie Ford, all the rest of them. Standing up there singing their gospel songs, he said, it's all of the devil. Said when they came in, said they went back into the bush in Africa, way out in the and those places, and said the young people, some of these young missionaries was going in there. Brother Branham talked about them going in there. And he said some of the elders from the villages come to him and said, they're playing this music. And said the beat to that music is the same beat that our witch doctors use in their rituals when they're worshiping the devil. Just because you put religious words to it, don't make it a sacred song. Amen. Don't make it a holy song.
That's right.
No, it doesn't. If that was the case, these men were doing great. They were living a holy life. Brother Branham said Elvis Presley sold his soul for a fleet of Cadillacs. Judas for, what, 20 pieces of silver? 20, 30 pieces of silver? Whatever it was. Sold his soul. Brother Branham, he just got done telling us now, in those couple paragraphs, he said, they knowed it intellectually. Now, I'm having a problem here, Brother Michael. It's starting to flash now, and it's going. I've been having a problem with my computer, and it's been dying. And last week it started getting real bad and it just blacks out. And so I went and bought one because I knew it was coming. And so, but I hadn't got it changed over yet. And so we'll see what happens here. But it just goes black. I'll be reading and it'll go black. And then after a minute it comes back. And so, and then the other thing he said, great intellectuals, great priests, rabbis, great teachers, right? All right. Now we're gonna go off to the side now. This is something we read not too long ago. I think it wasn't too long ago, on another lesson. And this is Brother Branham's talking about the intellectuals. And I wanted to put it in here again. Faith is works expressed, paragraph 201. Therefore, if your intellectuals does tell you, huh? Your intellectuals are talking to you, your intellectuals are telling you. They're telling you, now here's the stinger now. If your intellectuals does tell you that this is the truth, huh? Your intellectuals can tell you that. Your mind can tell you that this message is the truth.
Yes,
and many people, they've sat right beside you in the church and they got anointed right with you. And in their intellectuals told them that this was the truth. Something told you it was the truth. Something told them it was the truth. But you stayed right with it. And somewhere down the line, they went away. Or maybe they're still hanging around. If your intellectuals does tell you that this is the truth, God is the healer of sickness, your mind can witness that. That is the truth. But if there's not a bedding ground in your heart, huh? A what? Something has to be in there. Something has to be in there. If there's not a bedding ground in there, if there's not a seed in there, then nothing's going to happen. See, if faith to fall in, see, to express it, it will not happen. See, there's got to be something there to make it express. See? So no matter how much this outside man can reason it with the scriptures and say it's right, that still doesn't make it right. Wow. That's something, isn't it? That's powerful. Those things are powerful statements that he's making. And I don't think those things could never have been said to this day. They could never be understood to this day. Although the basis of them was being said. He was saying it. Paul was saying it. It was being said. Even in the seventh age, it was being said. But now the real understanding of it. God come down and revealed it. Himself. 206. The Spirit can come out here and anoint you to do a certain thing. And you do it. That don't mean that you're saved. See? Think of it. Caiaphas is prophesied. Judas cast out devils. See, the Spirit anointed him. And didn't the Scripture promise that in the last days, God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh? Huh?
Yeah.
The anointing's out there. And it's powerful. And that's the reason why we need to keep refreshing ourselves in these things. It's getting greater and greater and greater. That anointing, that deception, that's out there. And we see it in the revelation and in the interpretations that people have. Those revelations are growing and they are gathering followings. Their followings are getting bigger and bigger. The ones that are in their theophany and the ones that are in the new heavens and the new earth, they're already over there. Those groups are growing. They're not getting smaller, they're growing. And the quotes have been read. And we know we know very well, especially Kenya, Brother Benjamin, and in India too. It's there. It's been there a long time. As a matter of fact, I think the first time that I heard that idea of being in the millennium was in India. And then the next time I heard it was in Kenya. And with Brother Daniel came to me. We were having Theka meetings one year. And he came to me. Actually, it was not long after I'd first went there. When those things were just growing. They were just beginning. They were beginning. And I don't know, Brother Goomba, you might know, but I wanted to say 15, 20 years ago, I don't know of anybody before that, anybody before 20 years ago that was teaching those ideas. I don't know. Maybe you know some name. I'm not going to call the name, so you know some names out there. Maybe they were further back, but it's only been about 20 years. And you say, well, that's a long time. It is a long time, but remember, it's been 60-something years. Right? It goes way back from the 60s, from 65 to 24. That's a long time. And these ideas weren't back there. Or they were very much in their infancy. Very much in their infancy. So, those things are growing. Now, he said, this rain falls on the just and the unjust. The weeds can rejoice with the wheat. But it's what it is at the core. There's where intellectuals can accept and say, oh, sure, that looks good. I believe that. That still don't do it. No, sir. The Spirit can actually make witness of it. And still it isn't so. See? The Spirit can make witness. Because if that soul hasn't come from God, it can make all the impersonations out here, but it cannot be real. So your spirit, in your spirit, because that's where your intellectuals are. That's where your mind, that's where your reasoning, that's where your thought, that's where those things are. It's in your spirit. Your spirit can say, this is the truth. The Spirit can say, this is right. The Spirit says, I believe this. I believe it. This is the thing. See? But what did he just say? If that soul hasn't come from God, then all of your intellectuals, all of your anointing, all of your spirit is still wrong. It's still wrong. Even though in your spirit, in your intellect, you're saying, this is the truth. This is nothing but the truth. I believe this message. But without that soul, without that gene, it won't do you any good. See, it can make, because if that soul hasn't come from God, it can make all the impersonations out here, but it cannot be real. You can act healing. You can act like you have it. You can act like you receive it, see? Christians can act like they're Christians and act and be ever so good at it. But that don't mean they're saved. That's exactly right, see? The Spirit can be there, the real, genuine Spirit. The Holy Spirit can anoint you. And that still don't mean that you're saved. Huh? It's the inside soul that never dies. Can I say that again? It's the inside soul that never dies. Now, I want to ask you a question, because I want to ask you which one you're talking about, because there's two. Because you're born with one. And he said it has to die. And there's another one that can't die. That's what he's saying. There's one that has to die, and there's one that never dies. It's got eternal life. Now, if that soul has eternal life, then the word eternal means, always has meaned, it always will mean, no beginning and no ending. That's what that word means. That's a revelation that was revealed in this day. The word always meant that, it's just we didn't know about it. Yeah, as far as I, for me, now for intellectuals, maybe they had a grasp on that. But for me, even as a young Christian and even before being a Christian, forever and eternal was the same thing. And I think for most Christians, it was the same thing. That's the reason why so many people believed in eternal hell. Because as far as they knew, it was the same thing. But after they found out the difference in the words, then they went looking for eternal hell and they couldn't find it. And what they realized was they had an everlasting hell. And that's what's in the scripture. It's everlasting. But they found out everlasting is a period of time. It's not eternal. But that soul, he keeps saying this soul is eternal. It's got eternal life. It always was eternal life. It came from God and it goes to God. It's the soul. Now, I want to say one more thing about this, because he's calling it the nature. He's calling it the nature. And this, as a Christian, I can remember early on, we didn't get the soul, the message of the soul, when we came to North Carolina. We lived in Florida, and we got that in Florida. And so we found out later that Paul Jones was one of the first ones that had preached it. And so it made its way down to Florida, and we were looking at it and seeing that there was a change. There was two natures there. One had to die. And so I'm saying that because even though over the years, because there's been different teachings on this idea, and it's made me look at it over and over and over again. But this is what I've always believed. I've always believed that when you are born again, that you have the nature of the world. And that nature of the world, the soul is the nature of the spirit. So you're born with the nature of Satan. Is that right? You're born with the nature of Satan because of the fall. And when you are born again, you receive the nature or the soul of God. And so now your spirit has a nature on it when you're born and you're lost. And when you're born again, it gets a different nature. And now this affects your spirit, because your spirit now, you have the mind of Christ. You think like Christ, you act like Christ, you do everything like Christ, because it's a different person. So it's a different person that's controlling. And so that I've been made to think over the years back there that's wrong. To me, that has always been the simplicity of the revelation. That nature is God himself. That nature is God himself coming into you. And that's the reason Brother Branham said it's eternal.
Yes.
It's a new nature. It's not another nature. It is him himself coming into you.
Amen.
That's the new birth. That is man and eternal life becoming one.
Yes, that's right.
That's what it was in Christ, the fullness. It was God and man becoming one.
Amen.
It was building and building and building. But Christ was the perfection of it.
Yes.
It was Christ displayed in those prophets all the way through. But when it came to Christ, there he was. All the fullness of God, all that God was standing right there in one man. And then he began to build a body.
Yes.
A body.
Yes, sir.
And that body began, and he included them back there. Mm-hmm. He included them back there. He called them the foundation. Because he even took the rapture back there. And he said, in that they were building that part. They were building that part. So all that had been on display all the way back, who was it? It was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ all the time, and that was part of the body. And it was revealing him. Every one of them, they were revealing him. That was him. That was him. Moses, that was him. Jeremiah, that was him. Ezekiel, that was him. And it all came up and climaxed in Christ. And then it was poured out, and it started building again. And building, it was in Paul, and it was in Peter, and it was in those disciples, those apostles. And then it's come up to the climax in this day.
Amen.
And the cap, the head, the headship has come to the body.
Right.
Praise be to God. Paragraph 168, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Oh, the great revelation. Now, to restore back his kinship, to bring back now, he had to let them get lost. Huh? You understand it? He had to let them sin. Put them on free moral agency. What did he do? I want to stop. I want to go slow with this because what did he have to do? Because these are questions in people's minds. These are questions in people's mind. He had to let them get lost. He had to. He had to. Because he had a purpose in his mind, attributes he wanted to display. So in the only way that God was going to express himself, he had to let them fall. Now, he says it different ways, and we're going to read it another way in just a little bit, but he comes in the same order. Oh, the great revelation now. Now to restore back his kinship, to bring back now, he had to let them get lost. You understand it? He had to let them sin, put them on free moral, dot, dot, dot. He could not make them sin, see, and remain God, and then punish them for something that he made them do. Didn't make them do it. No. He didn't make them do it. As a matter of fact, he made a son. He made a son who couldn't even be deceived. That's what he made. He made a son that couldn't even be deceived. And even though God had needed someone to fall, he needed it. He was going to have it. He was determined he was going to have it. But his son couldn't do it because his son couldn't even be deceived. His son, Satan, come to his son and he couldn't do anything because he was standing there in the image of God.
Amen.
Satan didn't have a chance. God knew it. And Satan knew it.
Amen.
You don't hear that conversation.
Yep.
Do you think that the serpent never talked to Adam? Come on, he couldn't be talking to his wife and he never talked to the husband.
Amen.
That ain't happening. No. He was talking to Adam before he even got there. He knew everything. He named him. He named everything. He named it. He knew everybody. This wasn't somebody slipping around behind the bushes. He couldn't deceive Adam. And God knew that. But there had to be a fall. So God took a piece. He just took a little piece that was going to be weak and fragile. And it was going to be feminine. And it was going to be the feminine part of Adam. He was going to take that soft part out, that, and Brother Branham called it love. He said he was going to take that part out, and he set it there. And as long as she was standing there beside her husband, she didn't have no problem. That serpent couldn't do nothing. But he kept talking to her, and he kept talking to her, and he got her away from her husband. And then she got pregnant. And then she brought it to her husband. And she got pregnant again. And then two sons came forth. Verse 169. But when he put man on partnership with him, what did he put him on? Partnership. I want you to, I'm gonna go read a couple quotes on that too, because Brother Branham, I was really surprised. Now he talked about partner many times, maybe I think it might have been 66 times. He mentioned partnership three times. And he mentioned partnershiped one time. I'm going to read those four places that he mentions that. And they seem different, but in reality, they're saying the same thing. When he put man on partnership with him, then let man act as a free moral agency, the same thing he's got you on today. See? See? You act any way you want to. You're a free moral agent. That's right. You are a free moral agent. You act any way you want to act. That's the truth. That's absolutely the truth. The only difference is that before the new birth, you had a nature of the world and you loved the world. And when you're born again, that nature dies and Christ comes in. And now you have the nature of God. You have the mind of Christ. And if you've truly been born again, and the scripture says, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God, God's love is not in you, right? So, but if you've been born again, then the love of God's in you. And you don't love the world anymore. So now, you're still doing what you want to do. Is that right? You're doing what you want to do. Nobody's making you do anything. Nobody, did anybody make you come here today? No. Sister, I'm asking you, did anybody make you drive all the way from Mooresville to come sit and listen to this? No. You did it because you wanted to do it. Oh, your own free will. You've been believing this message, some of you, all of your life. All of your life, you've been sitting under this message. And when you got, you know, as soon as you get old enough, as soon as you get 18 in America, when you get 18, usually they can move out, they go do whatever they want to, then they don't have to go to church. They don't have to do anything. They're now considered an adult. The parent no longer can force them to do anything unless they just do it out of respect for their parents. But usually when it comes, when they come to that time, they're an adult now, legally in the country, and so now they can make their own decisions. And once they move out, that pretty much seals the deal right there, because mom and daddy's not standing over you no more, so you move out. And unfortunately, that's what most of us did. That's what I did. As soon as I turned 18, I was gone. And so, but I wasn't brought up in any religious affiliation at all. And so those few times that I went, that's what they were. And so that didn't mean that much. But once you turned 18, something kept you. Something held you. Maybe you took a little time or something. Maybe you wasn't sure. But somehow or another, you got back. You got back to it. That's your free choice. There's nobody goes home with you and nobody calls you. And Brother Gilman and I had these conversations several times. And there's a fine line, because we want to encourage one another. We want to help each other. And we should. And we all get weak. We all get down. And that encouragement helps us up. But that encouragement doesn't change the seed in there. It's still the seed all the time. So sometimes you get tired in the flesh, and maybe you just want to go lay by the creek for a little while. And a brother or sister comes and encourages you, and you come on to church, and you let the Word of God do what it does. But that nature in there is what's driving you. That nature in there is what is the free will now. See, you act any way you want to. You're a free moral agent. So therefore, if he put the first like that, he has to put the second like that. See? He has to put everyone like that. Or he acted wrong in the first place. See? That's right. But everyone is on the same basis. Absolutely the same basis. That's free moral agency to me. That's free moral agency. You are making your decisions according to what nature you have. You just take it in the natural. If you love walking in the mountains, and then somebody else hates it, and so this person that hates it, you're not going to find them walking in the mountains. No, they might like walking in the city park or down the streets of some big city. And I find that. I've never been like that. I never cared about the city. I every once in a while I go down to Charlotte, someplace like that, and I'll work. And I dread every minute of it. I don't like driving in there. I don't like thousands of people and thousands of cars and thousands of red lights. And I thought, these people spend half their day at red lights. It's crazy. You know, sometimes we get in town here and we think we spend a minute at a red light and we think, okay, come on. You go down there to them, man. They can sit there for several minutes because there's so many cars. And I had no desire for that. That's why they're living there and I'm living here. And even this is more crowded than I want. You know, we come from that. But, you know, it grows up around us, and that's the problem. They say back in the days of Daniel Boone, one of the, I call these names and you don't know who I'm talking about. He was one of the pioneers that started in America. So when the East Coast was filling up with all of the immigrants coming in, legal immigrants, they were coming in, getting established. They were all up along they started in the Northeast and then come down and then started to move west. Well, he was one that as soon as he got on, he just took off. And so he got over toward Kentucky, somewhere over there. And so he lived there, had a house, had his raising his family, was doing good. And he found out somebody lived within 50 miles. So he left his house, left everything, and moved. That was the spirit back in those days. But now they live on top of one another. They just... See? You act any way you want to, see? You're a free moral agency. So therefore, if he put the first one like that, he has to put the second one like that. Everyone's like that. Or he acted wrong in the first place, see? I'm sorry, I'm repeating. But everyone's on the same basis, see? So what did he say? Partnership. He's put you on partnership. Is that right? What did we read in Luke 10:16 the other day? He that heareth you, heareth me. Huh? Is that right? Why? Because he's put you on partnership. You are a representative. Huh? You're a part of him. You're a part of him. Now, if they hear you, if they hear him, they're hearing you. If they're hearing you, they're hearing him. And if they're despising you, they're despising him. Because you're on partnership. You and him are one. And you are his representative. You are his voice. You are the one. See? In God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him. That's the truth. That is the truth. That title there just explains it all, don't it? Now we find paragraph 90. Now we find out that this prophet, this was Amos, really struck down that nation. This Amos, he was just a plowboy, huh? A farmer. But we find out that when he did, struck down and told them what it would be, and told them if they didn't get right with God, that the enemy that they had taken in partnership would be the very one that destroyed them. Now, he's talking about partnership, but he's talking about the wrong partnership. And so, you read this. Amos was a prophet back there to those kings and to those leaders. And that's what they would do. They would make allegiance with other kings. And I think that was one of the problems with Jeroboam. He kept getting tied up with Ahab, these other guys. One was a believer and the other one was not. And so when you get partnered up with that, that's as good as saying you love the world. That's what that scripture is talking about. If you love the world or the things of the world, you separate. Brother Branham said Jesus was in a world all to himself. He lived in a realm all to himself. He was not tied up with the Pharisees and with the Sadducees and with the scribes. Did he preach to them? He preached to them. Did he witness to them? Was he winning souls? He was, every bit of it. He did all of it. According as the Father showed him. That's right. He was led by the Spirit of God. And there is a people on the earth today that are able to be led by the Spirit of God. And you might not always know that it's happening, but it's happening. Because God is and always has been with His people. And so whatever, whoever, whatever age, whatever time, God, the seed that was on the earth at that time, God was watching over it. Because and God has always had His angels encamped round about them. He doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't leave you stranded. He doesn't leave you out there. If something's happening, you know that He has a reason for it to happen.
Amen.
That's one of the great consolations in this revelation, is that you know that all things work together for good to you. Because you're a son and daughter of God.
That's right.
So whatever comes along, you know God has a purpose in it.
Yes,
and so you just sit back and you're watching. Lord, what is this for?
Amen.
Why? Why did this happen?
Right.
You're just waiting on Him to reveal it.
Right.
One time the prophet got impatient because God had blessed him so much and he got so much. God had given him so much, revealed so much. So one day, God didn't want him to know something. And so he went, there's a family that he had witnessed to and had been wanting, was trying to get them to come to the Lord. And so he felt like he had something invested in this. He had a part in this. And so he had a lot of time and a lot of effort and emotion. And that's what it was. He had a lot of emotion in this. And so I'm paraphrasing because this come to me just now. But I think it was the girl who had almost drowned one time. Remember that story? And then so now something's happened to her, and I don't remember what it was. And so God healed her, and the family agreed to become Christians. Wasn't that how it went?
Yeah.
The family agreed to become Christians. And so Brother Branham was just on cloud nine. So like a couple weeks later or days later, I don't remember what it was, she died.
Yeah.
And so Brother Branham got upset. And he said, Lord, you owe me an explanation.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? But there's two parts to that.
Yeah.
Because one thing I see in that, he was so close. And him and God talked so much. Face to ear, ear to lip,
yeah,
that he couldn't understand why God didn't tell him.
Yeah.
He couldn't understand.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and it's just like a child talking to their parent.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get some cockiness in their voice.
Mm-hmm.
They get some arrogance in their voice.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be there.
Amen.
But yet you want to share everything. Yeah, I think we should be as honest and open as we can with our family. I try to be as much as I can. Unless it's something I think that is going to hurt them,
I'm just open. To me, the truth is the best policy.
Amen.
It's just the best policy. And you know something else it does? It makes you feel like part of the family.
Yes.
If you're that person in the family that they hide everything from, then you don't feel like the family.
Yep.
You don't feel like you're loved.
Amen.
And so there's fine lines in all these things. And that's why sometimes preachers go home afterwards and they think, did I say it right? Did I just... I know everything we say, Brother Groom. I know, Brother Michael, I know all of it. Everything's a fine line. And if somebody wants to pick it apart, it's not going to be hard. It's not going to be hard. But at the same time, we're on partnership. And so, in talking about that's the reason that children in these other countries, especially poor countries, that's the reason why they become so responsible so young. Because they've always been part of the family. From a very young age, from these young children age, they had something to do. That everybody's working, everybody's doing something, whatever they can, just so the family can eat. So these little ones are doing something. If there's anything they can do, they're doing it. You remember that prophet talking about he used to have to carry water?
Yeah.
He couldn't carry the big bucket. He was just a little kid like some of these little girls.
Mm-hmm.
He had a little little pail that you take to the beach. He just had a little pail like that. That's how much water he could carry. And he carried that water. He had to take 10 trips compared to a man to carry that much water. But it didn't matter.
Yep.
He was carrying that. And it makes you feel like you're a part of this. You take part of the burden. You take part of the love. You take part of all of it. And that's how it is spiritually.
Right.
When we all become one in this revelation, when we're all working for the same goal, for the same message, for the same goal of people hearing this revelation.
Amen.
It's a great thing. I could say a lot of things right now. So here's Amos here telling them. Told them if they didn't get right with God, that the enemy that they had taken partnership would be the very one that destroyed them. It's true. In proof of his resurrection, 1955, paragraph 65. And man, in his own mental way of thinking, is wrong to begin with. He's an alien from God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right. Because he has the nature of the world. Now, he might have a gift. He might have discernment. He might have a lot of things. And he might say that this message is true. He might say that this revelation is right. He might. But in his own mental way of thinking, he's already away from God. He came into the world speaking lies. He came into the world lost. He's cut off without hope, without God, without mercy. And the only thing that he can do is come and accept Christ. And then when the Holy Spirit comes in and the mind that was in Christ is in you, see? Jesus said, the Father that sent me is with me. And I'm reading this because he's going to bring it to us.
Amen.
He's going to bring the same thing. What happened to Christ also happens to us. Oh my, what a declaration. What a word. See? Listen. As the Father sent me, so do I send you. He don't only send you, but he goes with you. Is that the scripture? That's absolutely the scripture.
Amen.
So no matter whether you're conscious of it, no matter if he's not giving you any physical sign, he's not giving you a voice, he's not giving you some supernatural something happening all the time. You know, because he told you that he's there with you.
Amen.
That's the word of God. And when we know that the word of God can't lie, and when we know that the word of God comes to pass perfectly every time, every time, every time.
Yes,
I've told my children before to do something, and I didn't want to tell them why. It's always easier if you can tell them why. But sometime you're trying to train them to trust you.
Yes.
You're trying to train them to trust you. And when you're doing that, you're not telling them the why. You're just telling them, I want you to do this exactly like this. Don't deviate now from what I'm telling you. Do it exactly like this.
Amen.
You go over here, you do this, you do this, you do this, then you go over there. Whatever it is, you're training them to listen what you're saying and do exactly what you're saying. Now, it's always easier for them if you say, now, the reason I want you to do this is because if you do that, da-da-da-da-da-da. I can remember one time we were in Kenya, and we were coming back from Thika Church on a Sunday, and we had, Polly was with us, the family was in the car, and so as soon as we got out, we opened the back to get Polly's stuff out, and this guy joins himself to us. And so, yeah, I knew something was wrong here. And so he just starts talking, and we're like, please stand back, stand back. And so we had some food stuff that we was given, Polly was going to take with him. And so this guy starts, he walks to the door, he goes to the back. So as soon as we open the back, you know, he's right there, he's looking at everything, all the luggage and stuff is there, everything's there. And so he's looking over everything. He's taking a mental note of everything that's there. So then, we get that closed. And so Polly goes to the passenger side. And so I get back in and sit down, close up. And I had told all of them to roll their windows up, And so during that time, one of them rolled their window down. And that guy's right there, and his head's in the window. And I turn around, and I complain. I fussed. And I said, roll your window up now. Now. And so she was slow, but she didn't realize what was going on. I wasn't going to say, this guy is a pickpocket, or this guy is a thief, or this guy is whatever he might be. I wasn't going to say that. What I wanted to say was, roll the window up just because I said roll the window up.
Right.
No explanation. We can explain. We can talk about all of this on the way home.
Yeah.
We can talk about all this tomorrow, the next day, and the next day.
Mm-hmm.
All of the possibilities this could be. But right now, the most important thing for you and for your sisters and for your family is close that window right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes God is trying to get us to follow without the explanation.
That's right.
And trying to get, the scripture is plain. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
Obedience is what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more obedience he gets, watch how much more he's going to tell you why.
Yes.
Before he requires it.
Yep.
It's a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing.
Amen.
See, I'll be with you. He don't only send you, but he goes with you. I'll be with you, even in you, until the end of the world. All that was in God was poured in, out in Christ. Huh? All that was in God was in Christ. And all that was in Christ, he emptied out into the believer. See, the church. Where's it at now?
Amen.
This is why Brother Branham said, the only God they're going to see today is in you.
That's right.
That's all. The only way they can see him today is in you. There's nowhere else to see him in action. I'm not talking about nature. I'm not talking about the sun and the moon and the stars and the sap going. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if God is going to talk,
yes,
if God's going to have action, if God's going to do something.
Amen.
There's no prophet in the land now. Now he's 100%. He's in the bride.
Yes,
he's in his bride, and every single member is part of that body. A part of the body.
Yes.
And every member of that body has a function.
Amen.
It's important.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think it's important, just let it get hurt.
Yes.
Let that fingernail right there get squashed one time.
Amen.
And you'll know how important that thing is. But I'll tell you another thing to do. Try to pick something up and not use that finger one time. You can't. Brother Goomba knows. He's going through right now, missing that hand. He's missing that hand. He's not getting all the use out of his fingers like he wants. You just do without it one time. And watch how precious. We use, this body is being used sometimes. We don't even realize it. We don't even realize the things that we're doing many times until it gets hurt and you can't use it. And when that happens, then it becomes reality. It becomes reality. And that's why you might think somebody in the body's insufficient, insignificant, I meant. Not so. Every member of the body is important. Every member. Brother Ram said, there is no big me, big I, and little you. There's no. Nah. You get that attitude, you're going to find out. You're going to be down there. You're going to be on the wrong side. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. All that was in me poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, he emptied into the believer. See, the church. God is with you. Lo, I'm with thee always, even to the end of the world. That's the declaration of God's word. That's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. We say amen to that. And he said, what does Scripture say? Even unto the end of the world. And the reason that means so much to us is because it wasn't until the end that the fullness came into the body. That's the beauty of it, is that this is the greatest time. This is the greatest time to be in the body. It's because now the fullness has come to it. The head has come to it. Now the body is in motion. The body is moving, led by the Spirit of God. I don't know. For years, as a young Christian, I read my Bible. I read the book of Acts. I marveled. I marveled at those people being led of the Spirit. Now, it wasn't just Paul. It wasn't just the disciples. It was church members. It was believers in the church. It was women. It was brothers. It was deacons. Huh? Read stories about deacons. All of them like that. And they were being led of the Spirit of God. And God was showing results in their life. And I always put them up here and myself back here. And the more that we look at this message, it can't be like that. We have to at least be right there beside them. We have to be right there beside them. But if we're in the fullness of it, there should be something more. There should be something more. There should be movement by this body. And the difference is, yes, they were moving by the Spirit. Yes, God was doing things. But now we can deliver greater revelation than they could, because they didn't have it. You can't do what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. We have it. That's why I say, Brother Branham said too, that a lot of times we don't even realize. Sometimes we just get our mind somewhere else, and God's doing something. He's doing something in your life. It's 100 times better if you're conscious of it when it's happening. Or if it just happens and you go home and you think, wow, you know what? I didn't even realize what was going on. Many times we don't. But I want to be. I want to be conscious of it. I want to see it. I want to be a part of it. In the natural part, that's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. See? All right, paragraph 71. And if we had to stand it alone, see? If we had to stand it alone, he's still, we're talking about partnership, right? So he talked about putting us on that partnership. And then he talked about them that had the wrong partnership. And this is, you can see what he says here. Now, if we had to stand alone, stand it, see, for it's God's word, every man that ever got anywhere had to stand alone on his convictions only. Listen, he's talking to every one of us now. He's talking to every one of us. Anyone who got anywhere with God is going to stand alone, okay? But there's a fine line here too, because we're a body. We're a body. We're not just individuals. We're not just every man for himself. And at the same time, we are. Because it's got to be in here. But once it gets in here, we are a part of a body. And we are holding one another up. We are lifting one another up. We're supporting one another. See? Let me read it again. Every man that ever got anywhere had to stand alone on his convictions only. That's not a partnership. That's not a partnership. So you are going to stand alone with God. You're not going to stand with the church.
Amen.
No, it's not a partnership. You're not going to stand with the social club. You're not going to stand with your job or whatever else affiliate you have in this life. You're not going with those things and then God's after that. No, it's you and God first. That's the partnership. Not these other ones. See, not with the world, with the word only. See, there's only one who will walk it with you. And that's him who made the statement, see, the Lord Jesus. That's the partnership there. That's the one you want. Not everything else that's out here. He's the one that will trod the valley with you. He'll go through every briar patch. Climb every mountain by your side. Yoke yourself up with him. For my yoke is light and my burdens are easy. Don't be yoked up with the things of the world. Don't be yoked up in different societies and organizations. Huh? Yoke yourself singly with the Lord Jesus Christ. In order that you can do it. See? Believe and see the resurrection. Now, that's the three places he used the word partnership. Now he's going to use, in this message, souls that are in prison now. Now he's going to use the word partnershiped. And that is something that's done. Wouldn't that be present tense? I'm not good at English. Partnership could be in the future, right? But if you're partnershiped, then... That I would take that as now. That's maybe it could go both ways too. But anyways, he's putting it here now. Paragraph 38. And then first man was made. He was a spirit man in the image of God, which God is a spirit. See, St. John 4. He is a spirit. And they that worship him in spirit and in truth. And thy word is the truth. This is the true worship here that he's talking about. And now we worship him in spirit and in truth. And he is a spirit being. He is a person. That's right. And I always stood out to me when Brother Branham talked about him being omnipresent. And he said, he's not like the wind. Like you think of a spirit, you just think of the wind. He's just everywhere. Brother Branham said, he's a person. He's a person. And so he's a being, and a being is dwelling in a place.
Amen.
Said, so from that aspect, he can't be everywhere because he's a person. Said, but because he knows everything and always has known everything, and he knew everything before anything
Amen.
Began to express, he said, that's what makes him omnipresent. But God is a person. God is a being. And God is a spirit. See? Now, let's say paragraph 40. Then there was no man to till the soil. And then God formed man out of the dust of the earth. And then he had taken from his side a byproduct, a rib. And from that separated this man, which had a dual nature, and which was both feminine and masculine. See, and he'd taken this feminine out because it was love. And he placed it in a person called Eve, that Adam called Eve, which was his wife. That's right. See, he separated the man, took this feminine part out. All right? That's where his love, natural filial love, held to his wife. That's the way a man should be today, and her back to her husband. The man, the masculine, the woman, the feminist. That's right. That's the difference. And sometimes we forget it. A man is supposed to be masculine, and a woman is supposed to be feminine. And when they cross up, it messes things up. It messes things up. So he created him. Let me start again, paragraph 42. And then, see, after he'd done made a man in his own image, created he them, male and female. There was no man to till the soil. And he put him in the dust of the earth. And therefore, see, he was that man. This human man was mammal. See, he was an animal. But he put the Spirit of God, a life, into him. And made him on the basis that he could make a choice. See how he keeps going back to that? He always goes back to that. Now we think we're something, see? We think we're something. Now, he already told us a while ago that we're nothing. And just in the natural mind with that nature of the world is already messed up to start with. You're already messed up. See, just remember what we are. A clod of dirt. That's all. Because dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. So when you see this man walking down the street that thinks he's somebody, you know, and got a little more education and things, remember, he's a clod of Indiana dust. That's right. That's all. And that woman that's all dressed in shorts and smoking a cigarette, carrying on down the street, twisting like she owns the whole country, see, it's a clod of Indiana dust. That's right. And that's the way it's turning back, see. So you're not very much to begin with, see? And that's right. That's what you are. You're not. One place Brother Branham said, I said, what did he say, 87 cent, 86 cent, something like that? If you took and you melted it down and you got all the minerals out of there, you know, like you're selling scrap, it's about so much calcium, so much of this, 86 cent. But that soul that's in there, see, that soul is what God is working on. See? What's he working on? The soul. What's God working on? God is working on the soul. That's the thing God's working on. That's the thing God's concerned about. If he can only get that nature, that spirit, to agree with him, then that nature dies. The nature of the world dies, and the things of the world is dead.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. So if there's a bedding ground, now he's done made it clear, if there's no bedding ground in there, if there's no seed in there, it don't matter what agrees. He's already said, if your intellect agrees, if your spirit agrees, if you're in your mind, you say, yeah, I believe it's the truth, it don't matter. It don't matter what you get to agree. Because unless that womb is there, unless that seed is there to be quickened, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to change. It's not going to bring the new birth. It's not going to make you one of those predestinated babes that he was talking about. No, it's not going to do it. There's only one way. It's when that nature dies. See, the nature and the love of the world dies. And the things of the world is dead, see? Because if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. Which love is he talking about? The love of God. The love of the world is one love. The love of God is another love. That's right. That's the difference in filio and agapo. See? And a man must be born again. So this nature has to die. And this is somehow a while ago when I stopped and was trying to explain that. That was something I wanted to say. And so I thought that I had read over this. And so I was trying to go back and throw it in there. And that's why I was struggling. But now here's where he says it. And this is the point where I was saying, this is what I've always believed. Because this is the simplicity. And this message here has always meant so much because of all that Brother Branham brought in. And not just on the soul, but also on redemption. He makes it clear. That's where he says that that's over. That's done. That's finished. Read the message. That's what he said. He's no longer an intercessor. If he's no longer an intercessor, we are not in that dispensation. when he talked about the church age is being completely finished and we're in another day and that message won't work and that word won't work that fell on the day of Pentecost, he has vindicated that. He has clarified that. He has made it no way that we can misunderstand that. And so when people refuse that, it's simply because they have an emotional attachment to those ideas because they think that, no, if we go with that idea, then nobody can get saved and nobody can come into the kingdom. Nobody else can know the truth. Nobody. There's no use us preaching. There's no use. That's as far from the truth as you could ever get. The fact of the matter is the elect was never lost. Amen. The fact of the matter is that redemption was just bringing them back. Amen. And they were the only ones. The only difference was that wasn't revealed. But now it's revealed. So now we know we're not trying to get people saved. And really when you think about it, when you were getting people saved, now they were going to have to do so many things, live this good life. They were going to have to be a good person. They were going to have to do all of these things that man's never been able to do. Man's never been able to perfect this flesh because he had the wrong nature. And even with Christ in you, you're not perfecting the flesh. It's perfection living in you. It's the nature. It's the Spirit of God living in you that's perfect. And that's the beauty of the whole thing. Listen, this is just simplicity. And a man must be born again. So this nature has to die, and not just die, and the nature of God comes and lives in you. What comes in there? The nature. The nature of God comes into you and lives in you. Now you can argue all you want to. You can make it say, you can change the words around, and you can make it say this and that, and look at it like this, and say it like that. Do whatever you want to. I like it just the way it is. And it makes perfect sense to me. The nature of God comes in. The soul is the nature of the Spirit. That's what the soul is. The soul is the nature of the Spirit. The nature of God comes and lives in you. What more can you do to that? How can you make that any better? How can you make that any plainer? How can you make it any more real? And God is the only thing, listen to this, and God is the only thing that never did begin or never can end.
Amen.
Huh?
That's right.
That nature, that soul, it's the only thing that never did begin and never did end. God is a person. God is a spirit. And God has a nature. And when that old nature dies, you're going to get a new nature. There's not three natures.
Amen. That's right.
There's not three natures. There's not another one that you get and then you get some of Christ. No. When you get born again, you get all Christ. You had the devil, now you get Christ. That's the soul. That's the nature of the Spirit. I hope I'm not just beating this thing up, but you know, there's been so much said about it. There's been so much said about it until I went through a time, some years ago, I went through a place where I started thinking, am I wrong? Am I misunderstanding everything that he's saying? Am I misunderstanding the simplicity of what he has said about the soul? To me, it's not this, it doesn't take the board. It doesn't take this, like formulas. You dilute this down and dilute that down and make this and this and this, and you come out with this over here. It's not rocket science. It's not. This is it right here. The nature of God comes and lives in you. Perfection. Perfection. And God's the only thing that never did begin or never can end. Brother, that's why when you get it, it's perfection in you. That's why Jesus said, you must be perfect. Like your Father in heaven is perfect.
Right.
How are you going to do it? You can't. It has to be Him.
Amen.
And when He comes in, perfection. So therefore, paragraph 45, here it is. Maybe He said it more, but I could only find one time that He used this word. Therefore, I was amazed. I was amazed that He only used that three times, and then more amazed that He only used this one time. Therefore, He has partnershiped you, see, and taken this man, earthly, and this eternal spirit, and put it together. Because God reflected Himself back in that He become a man when He became Christ Jesus. And He was God, see, God was in Christ, see, lived in Him, reconciling the world to Himself, and through that perfect man, each one of us imperfect that believe in God and has accepted that becomes the perfection of Him.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Praise be to His name. I just want to just take that and put it right on the wall. The nature of God comes in. I can just look at it every day. The nature of God comes in and lives in you.
Amen.
That's what comes in. Get born again. Watch what happens. You got a different nature. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to override your intellect.
Yes, sir.
It's going to override my intellect.
Yes, sir.
It's going to override my ideas.
Amen.
It's going to override my desires and my wants and my everything. It's going to override it. That's right.
Yes.
You know, I might like to go hiking every weekend. I might like to go to the mountains, sit beside the creek, crawl up those mountains over there, brother, where we used to go. I might like to do that every weekend. I work all week, and I just want to take the weekend off. That might be what I want to do. But you know what? That free will, that free will is overriding my want for this physical man, for this physical man, for this Adam nature. That free will, that nature of God in there is overriding everything that I, the man part, would do. And it wants to be here more than it wants to be there.
Yes.
Now, there was a time in my life that I wanted to be there more than I wanted to be here. That's why I didn't go to church. I didn't have no desire. I didn't go unless there was a real purpose to go. I mean, I went for years and years and years, and maybe a wedding or a funeral. That was it. Or I can remember a couple of times dating girls in high school. I went to church just for them. It wasn't even really for them. It was for their parents. So they'd see a good boy. It was all a hypocrisy. Just they see a good boy, and, oh, we like this guy. He goes to church. You know, you don't even have to be a believer to understand the concept of that hypocrisy. I mean, I didn't have spiritual comprehension, no spiritual understanding, no nothing. But I knew you go to church and people think you're a good person. Oh, boy. Paragraph 45. So therefore, He has partnershiped, you see, and taken this man earthly and this eternal spirit and put it together, because God reflected Himself back in that He became a man when He became Christ Jesus. And He was God, see? God was in Christ that, see, lived in Him, reconciling the world to Himself. And through that perfect man, each one of us imperfect that believed in God and has accepted that becomes the perfection of Him. I know I'm repeating. 46. And He never left His body, see? He never let His body see corruption. Neither did He leave His soul in hell, but raised Him up on the third day, and He's alive forevermore. And we will have a body like His own glorious body. That's right. See? That's why we're baptized into His name, that we might come forth in His name and in His death and in His resurrection, that we rise again testifying to the world that we have a new life and that the old man is dead. We buried the first nature, see? See, the first nature is gone. And now we are the nature of Him. What are we? The nature of Him. And what is the soul? The nature of the Spirit. And we don't do our own will. We do His will.
Amen.
What will? That nature that's living in you.
Yes, sir.
That Spirit of Him. That life of Him. That's what you do.
Amen.
That's your free will. That's the thing that is overriding everything else.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think with our own thoughts. The mind is what thinks, see? The mind that was in Christ, Jesus, is in every believer. That's a different mind.
Amen.
See, there is the soul. What? I'm going to back up. All the way back up. Just all the red there where he said the first nature is gone. I'm going to back up. I want to read this again, straight through. That first nature is gone, and now we are the nature of Him. He lives in us. And we don't do our own will. We do His will. We don't think our own thoughts. The mind is what thinks. The mind that was in Christ Jesus is in every believer. See? There is the soul. And that's what we're speaking of now. That's the part that I'm thinking of now. That's within us. That's within us.
Amen.
The soul. That's what he's talking about. The soul. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I know you know all of this. I know I'm not saying nothing new. I'm not trying to say nothing new. I'm just trying to say it again.
Amen.
And if it's just for me this morning, it's just, then that's okay. Because I'm more convinced now than I've ever been.
Amen.
That what we just read is exactly how it works.
Amen.
And it don't matter what anybody says to complicate it. Don't matter what anybody says and they go this long way around and around and around until I'm lost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come right back here.
Yes.
I'm going to come right back here.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
When you open those seals and you start right there, and you come through the token message, and you come through these other messages, you come through souls that are in prison, you come through the invisible union,
Amen.
You come through anointed ones at the end time, you come through works as faith express, you come through all those messages. They all point to the same exact thing.
Amen.
You got to work really hard to mess this up. You got to work really hard.
Amen.
And you're only messing yourself up when you do it. Paragraph 48. Now, if we notice in this, there's many things that happen sometime, and we wonder why they happen, and we question ourselves and we question others. But finally, after a while, we find out that if we're Christians, it all works out just right. That's right. See, somehow, you've seen that. All Christians see that, and we wonder. See, we wonder why. Now, we've been reading that out of Souls in Prison. And so I read this and I was thinking of Sister Edith and I also was thinking of Kurth. I got to talk to her a little bit yesterday out here. And so it made me think. Both of them are going. Sister Edith is facing possibly an operation unless God does something for her. And Kurth was telling me she has a lot of problems and she's with the children and life and just everything. She has a lot of things she's going through. And so I thought, as Christians, of course, you know, maybe two different circumstances in one way, but at the same time, for the elect, all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that. And so whether God takes it this way, this is what we were talking with Sister Edith yesterday, and Brother Michael was standing there. Whether God goes this way, an operation, or whether he just does a miracle and heals her, or rather he does some other way. We don't know. We don't know what way he's going to go. But we have this. We have this, and we hold this right there. Lord, I need you to do something for me. I need this. This is life or death. And so I'm putting it right here now, that no matter which direction you want this to go, all things work together for good to them that love you. And you know I love you. You know I love you. And so rather, it has to be an operation. I don't want it to be, but if it has to be, rather you just give me healing, rather that thing just disappears, whatever it is. And every one of us have things that come up on a regular basis. I have right now for my mother. Matter of fact, the family's in a meeting right now with my mother. And I couldn't be there. I should be there. And my wife's been taking care of my mother, and I feel bad that she's, and it's not easy. Trust me, it's not easy. When we get old, I'm asking God, if I get there, let me listen to the people who are trying to help them. When you forget what's going on, you forget things, and then somebody tells you, and it's people that love you, and you don't believe them. You're like, no, I didn't do that, or I didn't do that. You know, just whatever it is, and I hope I can have that confidence, and I feel like I can. I feel like I have so much confidence in the people around me right now. If it's the same people, it's my wife and believers, that if you come and said that, listen, you're not remembering what you did. Mm-hmm. You need somebody to help you. Mm-hmm. You need somebody. And so she knows she's forgetting, but there's no conception of the seriousness, because everybody forgets something, right? We all forget. Mm-hmm. We all forget. So she has no conception of the seriousness of what it is. And so I cover your prayers for that. I seen it with my grandmother. She lived to be 99 and a half. She lived on her own till she was 96. And then she started doing what my mom is doing now at 87. And so that's the grace of God to live that long now. In this country, they've already proven that all of this processed food that we're eating, all this stuff comes in a package. This is going right here. It's tearing down the brain cells. And so I'm telling you, I know that the best thing, the only thing you can do is ask God to bless it and to bless it to your body. And that's the ultimate. But you don't have to eat that junk. We don't have to eat that junk. And I'm not preaching nutrition today, but I'm telling you, they've been doing this. They have purposely been doing it for many, many years. And I just listened the other day, and it was something that I remember when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I was living in California. It was in the 60s. Didn't know about the prophet, but it was in the 60s when Brother Branham was alive. And it's when they changed from butter to margarine. Right. And it's when it changed. And even the commercials changed where you needed to eat cereal every day. You should eat cereal every morning. Right. And that's when they changed the wheat. Mm-hmm. The wheat quit being the real wheat. It's when they genetically modified the wheat. Yeah. And then other things they were doing is they were taking the good part of stuff out, and that's what they've started doing in Africa, India, these countries. When I first went to Kenya, and I went in the store, every juice on the shelf was 100% juice. Now you have to search and read every label to find the one that's 100% juice. Because they've taken the good stuff out, they used it for something else, and now they had to put sugar in it now because it wasn't sweet anymore. They have to put sugar in it now, plus other ingredients, because it can't preserve itself. Right. It can't do it. They have to put some preservatives in there and some starches in there and make it hold its composure and stuff. Why in the world would it take 21 ingredients? I'm going to stay back here so I don't spit on you, sister. I'm sorry. I see it coming out, and I just keep going. I'm sorry. I'm staying back. I'm far enough back, I think. There used to be a preacher come by, and he said, "Boy, you didn't. Nobody sat on the front row. It just covered everybody." So anybody, but that's where it's at today. That's where it's at. It's terrible. It's terrible there. So I just, you know, if you can't let go of it, just pray over it. Pray over it. Say, God, just give us strength by this. And I know you do. We all pray over our food. We pray over everything. And it's the grace of God. So, you know, and it's, you can't stand up here and say, if you eat right every day, you're not going to have health trouble. Because I know people that are super healthy and they die. You know, I know people that smoked all their life and live into their 90s. Huh? And then I know kids that are 20 years old die from cancer, from chewing tobacco or smoking. You just do the best you can. Just do the best you can. And see, if we're Christians, it all works out just right. Somehow, see? You've seen that. All Christians see that, and we wonder why we did it. Praise God. We thank God. Amen. Well, now, this is a first. Is it 10 after 1? Is that what time it is? This is the first time I looked at the clock today. And I would have thought it was about 12:30. That's amazing. That's amazing me. I had no idea. Let me just read this a little bit. We're almost to get there. But let me just read a couple more quotes, because I can't just look at the clock and say I'm stopping. I don't feel right. So, paragraph 170. Now, noticing now and bringing that back and letting that man do that and knowing that he would do it, Who's he talking about? We're back in Christ, the mystery of God now. Noticing, bringing that back and letting that man do that and knowing that he would do it. But what did it do? It displayed his attribute as Savior. Amen. Is he talking about Adam? Yeah, he's talking about Adam. He let him do it. God let him do it. God, he had to go that way. Why? So he could display himself as Savior. The whole purpose then is left in Jesus Christ, God himself, to take the penalty of his own law, death to die, to redeem the wife that was lost by rejecting him. See? Amen. This is why I said a while ago, well, this rejecting, see, that we were doing it. We were rejecting because we didn't know the difference. Is that right? There was a time that we were preaching this message. Maybe some people were preaching Trinitarianism. Even the messenger of the fifth age preached a Trinitarian doctrine. Is that right? So it's not beyond us. And why did he do it? It hadn't been revealed to him. But when the revelation came, then the revelation comes on the seed. And then the seed goes away from that then. It can't stay back there now. See? But after it's revealed, we no longer reject. See? So we were saying a while ago about the anointing comes upon all flesh. The anointing's out there. It's upon the churches, it's upon the preachers. See, when Eve went away from the Word, she went away from her mate. And when the church goes away from the Word to a denomination, she rejects and commits fornications with the world of man's wisdom, rejecting the authority of God's Word. Does that sound clear? Congregation says amen. The Bible said committing spiritual fornications. Any word in the Bible that's rejected or if any self-interpretation put to it, it's absolutely rejecting and committing adultery against the God that is your husband.
Amen.
Amen. And an adulteress never enters the kingdom of heaven. We know that. See? See, that's what Eve done in the first place. That's right. Paragraph 172. Now notice again now. Now, what's his threefold purpose? Manifest himself in Jesus Christ to come into the body by Jesus Christ. To have the preeminences. To what? Restore back to Eden. To bring back that which was lost. When he gives the third part of that, so manifest himself in Christ, manifest himself in the bride, have the preeminence. And if he's manifesting himself, then he's going to have the preeminence. When he manifested himself in Christ, he had the preeminence. And when he takes over your flesh, he's going to have the preeminence. And then he's going to do what? Restore back to Eden. What those first two steps was to bring that third step. It was all together. But to bring back to Eden, I can remember, once again, as a young Christian, all I thought about was paradise. I thought about they lived in paradise, in the garden. Everything was perfect. That was just, everything was lovely. It's not just a paradise. It's bringing you back to your position. It's bringing you back to Adam's position, what he had, what he was, what he had control. Complete control over the whole earth.
Amen.
You're going to have, you right now, you have complete control over this whole earth right here.
Yes,
that's right. And if the Spirit leads you, if the Spirit tells you by free moral agency to say to this mountain, be moved, it'll be moved.
Yeah.
That's right. You say, brother, you're making fun now saying that. No, because that's exactly what I believe it is.
Amen.
It's exactly what I believe it is. If I have the nature of God, my free will is moved by the nature of God.
Right.
And if I'm not born again, my free will is moved by the nature of Satan.
Yes, sir.
That's how I see it. And if I'm wrong, you correct me. You just correct me. See, to restore back to Eden, bring back that which was lost. That was the only thing out of order. All the rest of his things was in order.
Yes,
but he had to put man on free moral agency to fall so that he might be a savior to display what's in him. See, his attribute of savior. That was the whole purpose. I got ahead of myself last week, but these were the quotes that I was headed to when I was making the comments. Something had to be lost. And the very thing that man fell and became lost, he became the savior of that, taking his own law. And he could not do it as that great Jehovah that covered all space and time. See, he couldn't do it. He had to become a man. And he took kinship with the man that was lost, amen, and become a man, God made flesh. Hallelujah. You think I'm excited, but I'm not. It's something inside. What's inside? That seed, that nature, that free will. Oh, it's in there. Oh, it's in there. Praise be to God. Okay, now, so really, I only have one more. Can I just read two little paragraphs here? And we'll just... When you get this late, it just doesn't matter anymore, does it? You're just late. Paragraph 175 and 176. God became from God to become me, to take my sin upon him, that he might make me him. Is that, you hear that? That he might make me him. Amen. Back to his great purpose of sons and daughters of God, for he is the eternal Father. That attribute was in him, see? So that had to be displayed. That's right. Now, see, the whole threefold purpose, see, to express himself, He wants to become. See? Now the world is lost. Now he has to express himself in a man to become a savior through the reconciliation of the blood from his cross. And now he had to become that to die in order to save and to bring himself back into the church to have preeminence in his church.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. And paragraph 178, now we see his mystery that he had hid in his mind before the foundation of the world. What? He wanted to display his attributes. Amen. All that he was, he wanted to put on display.
Amen.
Praise God. What a plan. What a great, marvelous plan that God had in his mind. And this is the reason why, this revelation is the reason why that those prophets and all the way through have been longing to see this. Because now we just can understand what it was all about. Moses going through what he did, it was a great thing. It was supernatural. It was amazing, all that was happening. But he didn't capture the reality of what it was pointing to and what was on display. All through there, they weren't getting it. And even when Christ come, then they proved it. They proved it right there on the road to Emmaus. They're walking along moping and crying and despondent, and everything was just, they were just dragging the ground. And then he once again joined himself to them. We thought he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Praise God. What did we think? We talk about them. What did we think when we come? What did we think? What's he going to do today? We're going to go in the sky? We're going to jump over walls or leap over and walk through and all of those things? What did we have in our mind was going to happen when Christ come? It certainly wasn't the way we thought, was it? Nor was those great teachers and those great theologians that have been studying it for 2,000 years. Some of them have spent their whole life. They wrote Bibles. They wrote new Bibles. And they wrote interpretations of the Bible. And they give their whole life to it. And what did they testify to? They testified to the fact that no man could do it. They testify to, no matter how smart you were, how much you did it, that it only comes by revelation. Only God can reveal this thing. And another thing they testify to, it couldn't come before the day and the age that it was predestinated to be revealed. That's right. No matter how much they tried in the ages coming, the last 2,000 years, it wasn't time. That's why many of them now are taken from the Church Ages book and from the Seal book. I don't listen to the radio, but every once in a while I'll turn it on and you hear these preachers on there and you hear a quote.
Yes, sir.
You'll hear a quote and you know exactly where they got it.
That's right.
Yeah. Just word for word.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But they'll never acknowledge the prophet. They'll never acknowledge the rest of it. They won't take all of it, but it is so perfect to the Bible. So we're going to ask you to stand together. We're going to ask Brother Goomba if you'll come and dismiss us this morning. And we just thank you. I want to thank you again for yesterday, all that you've done for us. And we appreciate it so much. And so now I know that Sister Asenoth and Brother Richard is not going to be able to go. Sister Evelyn's not going to be able to go. Is everybody else going next week? Okay. All right. Great. So we just got to talk about sometime driving. So everybody doesn't have to drive. But we can do that afterwards. Okay? God bless you.
God bless you. I think you didn't hear that, Brother Don, but Brother Mike was suggesting that Rebecca Cameroon and Amanda Senior, they would drive in one car. Okay. They have a problem with car sick or being car sick or something like that. I think I heard that right, Brother Michael. And then the rest of us, Brother Michael is suggesting that he has a van or something. He gets a van for us, all of us. And the total of the people that are going are 16. There are 16 people. There are 12 adults and four young ones. So that's the total that I give to Brother Mwangi. There is something else that happened. Brother Mwangi is insisting that there are three people that he really wants them to be there. He wants to be Sister Rhonda. He really wants her to be there. And that's obvious. But he also wants Osina, Sister Osina, to be there. I've not talked to her. I didn't have a number. I think they did something together when he was here, and he still thinks that he's supposed to go. I've not talked to her.
But you're going to talk to her.
I'm going to talk to her.
Thank you.
I don't have even her number. But I'm looking for a number. The other thing is, I'm going to get the message to her that Brother Mwangi would like you to be there. And that's her, for her to decide.
Yeah.
I don't want to look like I'm proselyting. You know proselyting? I don't want to look like that.
Proselyting.
Yeah. I don't want to look like that. Yeah, that's right. The other thing is, Brother Michael Simmons.
Oh.
He did something. I think the car broke somewhere. And they were there in the sun, and the children, it was so bad. And he came and really helped him. He says, and when he talks like that, he feels like, you feel like on the phone he's crying or something like that. He said, just tell him I would like him to come. I don't know why. Another thing I would like to say is that...
Do you have his number?
I don't have his number, but I think my wife has.
Okay.
He talked to him one time. He had a problem with plumbing something. And he came and helped them, I think. But if somebody can tell him that, this is just a message. Don't talk much. Just say, tell them, Brother Mwangi said, this is the message from Brother Mwangi. He'd like you to be there. So we're not frustrating. We're not trying to put anybody to us. We don't know. We don't know that. But if a message is sent, you just take the message there, and that's there. Now, another thing is, you people talk here like you are taking me to preach. No. No, I'm not preaching. I mean, if I get a chance, that's okay. It's not me. Brother Don is here, and maybe the first chance will be Brother Don. I want to give Brother Don. Of course, Brother Monk called me, and when he calls me, I told him, I made him understand that we are all in this together. I mean, it's not me. So it's the chance that is going there, and Brother Don is with us, and Brother Michael is with us. You people can preach also. If a chance comes, I don't necessarily need to preach. You people can take the chance and preach. And so we're not going to take Gomba. No, no. We are going, and Brother Don and Brother Michael can also take, and they can preach. I'll miss Brother Richard. I really wanted Brother Richard to be there, but I know he's working and like that. Sister Emery, I can take care of you. Let's go. That's okay. But I would love to for you to be there. And that's very good, and I still encourage every one of us. People have been telling me about going to Kenya. I don't have money, and that's true. And the sermon today is very encouraging. It's not about Brother Michael. I don't have nothing. I don't have the money. I don't have even up until now. I don't have even the fear. But Gabriel has been drawing. I've had drawings of me and our mother and his mother drawing some two people like that, and. And him and Aspen there, and a very, very big airplane, and the pilot there, and he says, to Kenya. So it's so much. And I said, do you going? I said, yes, by the grace of God. I don't leave that. And when I say the grace of God, or when we say, are we going to go to Mosville tomorrow? If God wills. I've been telling my wife, that's very important, if God wills. In everything is if God wills, even when something looks very obvious. And when you speak like that, people think you don't have the faith. It's not that you don't have the faith. It is that, oh, Brother Don, you come very well. It's all on him. It's all on him, and for his good, for his joy. If God is happy with it, we are going. If God is not happy, whatever you think is very, very, is obvious to eat, you eat when God wills. you walk when God wills. This body is controlled from top here by Him. Amen. And it does only what He, the controller, wants. That was very interesting. I wanted to say something here that I know you're starting, but something that I really want to say here about that woman. I've read that, and I've really, that has really humbled me down. The prophet used to talk with God lip to ear. It was like that. And this woman dies after he did whatever God had told him. But you go to every nation, everywhere. This is a ministry. Nothing will stand before you. Nothing will be able to stand against you, not even cancer. And now he prays. That woman dies. It has got you and me an explanation. And God had explained very many things before, but He's not explaining this. And the prophet thinks that you, and you can very well to see that sometimes you don't even explain nothing. Sometimes you don't explain nothing. I remember down in Kenya, I'm not blaming you, but I remember in Kenya one time, I know you're studying, I'm sorry. We packed the vehicle. You know where it is. You know where Brother Karok used to live with Mama Jerry. Mm-hmm. And you know Koinange Street, where near there, where Palaza, I don't know what Palaza, we used to park the vehicles there near the Kencom, around there. You know, that's quite a distance. So I told brothers, it's 10 o'clock in the night. So I told brother, listen. Brother Don, listen, let's not walk there. Let me walk there from Mama Jerry. From there, it's a distance. Let me walk there, get the car, and come for you. And these people said, no, let's go. I said, no, let's not do it. So they said, let's go. I said, okay, let's go. You see what we did, brother? I didn't explain what I was hearing. I didn't explain. Sometimes, like here, I've learned, and I told somebody the other day, I've learned, you people have experience. When you tell me, don't do this, I stop right there. Sometimes you don't explain it to me. Do you know what, Brother Don? Sometimes I cannot even understand why. Because in Kenya it's different. This is just a walkover. In Kenya it's just a walkover. But let me do it here and I'll be in handcuffs. Do you understand what I mean? So when you people tell me, don't, you sometimes don't explain it. I cannot even understand. Don did not even understand why I was telling them that. But you know what we got? Brother Don restored. We restored. You remember that? We had a rest with the people. And it's at night. Those thieves wanted to. And why I was saying that? I'm a black man. They don't care about me. They don't even have money. But him at night in those corners, they know he has money. So the fact that he gets his pocket and took his watch. Like that, he struggled. And the thing, we got the phone, and the next thing, he steals his money from his pocket. He knows, I think I don't have money, but he thinks this is a white man. He goes to dark corner, then he has money. You see that? Just like you told your children, roll up your windows. You may not, that's God. Sometimes he doesn't. We cannot, let me tell you, Brother Don, sometimes we cannot even understand. Sometimes we cannot even understand why he's telling us. That's what he's telling us. We cannot understand. But because we have a trust that Amen. He is my Father.
Amen.
He cares. He loves me. He has my best interest.
That's right.
Amen. Then I can. If he tells me to walk on fire, this is where God wants me. I was telling my children the other day, if today, I know, I told them that. He's pathetic sometimes, but if God tells me today, wake up, I want you to go to North Korea and preach this message, I'll tell him, Lord, if that be the case, just give me a minute. I want to tell them goodbye. I know I'm not coming back. But I'll be in that flight the next day and go to North Korea. He has my best interest. It's his best interest for me not to die. If I go there and die, that's okay. He still has my best interest. Do you think he didn't have his Peter's best interest? When Peter turned around and said, I'm not gonna go away. Let me go back. But don't crucify me like you crucified Jesus Christ. Crucify me upside down.
No.
I'm not worthy to be crucified. Did you think he didn't have his best interest? He had his best interest. He has his best interest.
Amen.
But it's not about this body. It's about who we really He loves us. We can follow him bravely.
Amen.
Like those disciples where he told them, will you also go? Will you also go just like them? The rest of them have gone. Will you also go like them? And he looked, and they looked and said, well, we don't know. We are following you bravely. We don't know how to do what you're telling us. But who else do we go to? Where else do we go to? He's our Father. He careth. Do you care? Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, when we realize how much you love us, Lord, when we realize who you are to us, Lord God, we don't have anything, Lord God, to hold back, Lord. But just, Father, to give ourselves completely to you. And you said, Lord God, that your smallest desire, when we recognize it, when we know it, is an order, is a law. Just like David one time, Lord God, he discerned the sweet water, the best water that we have in the earth, from Bethlehem. And he was besieged. He could not do nothing, Lord. And he was there, Father. He didn't know what to do. But Lord, he just desired. He didn't say go. But those soldiers, Lord, they worked so hard, Lord God, and fought, and God went down there and got that water and brought it to him, Lord God. And he looked at it, he said, who told you to go? It was just a desire. And that is exactly what it is. Whatever you desire, Father, sometimes you don't understand why you want it like that. But we recognize who you are, that you're God, and that you know better than us. And that, like we are your children, like our children, Lord. We just follow, Lord. But we are thankful that you've come to this now, where you are revealing yourself, where you are explaining everything. But if you are saying the thing, Lord God, right there, that we see, we don't understand, we still follow, Lord. We are not checking, second guessing you. We are not doing that, Lord. We know you, you are Father. You've done so much, Lord God, that we've come to recognize that you are Father and that we are your children. That we are you and you are us, Lord. We are thankful for these things, Lord. Now, there are some things that has been said. I don't know them. But about cars, I understand car is not feeling good. I don't know what it is, Lord God, but he's going through something. We commit her to you. We commit her to you, Lord. No, Lord God, that the other night was something that if I had the number, I would have called Sister Edith, Lord. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, Lord, like Brother John said, you have ways to do it. We are not telling you what to do and how to go about. Whatever it is, Lord, take care. That's all we can say. Take care. Because we know you know how to do those things. We don't even tell you how to do, because you have so much experience. You can do something. Just do something, and that problem, whatever it is, Lord, just hold it on your hands, Father, and that's where we leave it. We leave it on your hands. There's also Sister Dawn's mother. I know the brothers have talked to you about it and have been praying about it, but we still come. We want to place it there again, the great physician, Lord. We want to place it on your hands, Father. Take care of it, Lord. You are the best, Father, in these things. There's nobody else who is better than you. You know it, Lord, and you can do it. So we place it there, Lord, knowing that, Lord, you are more than able to do it. And we leave it there. We leave it there, Lord, and we glorify your name, Lord. And we uphold it. We uphold your name, Lord God. We say you are the greatest, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've done. We are appreciative of that, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.